Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Did you know that Spider-Man is dead? There's no more. There can be no more Spider-Man now that he's out of the MCU.
Well, I don't know about dead.
He's dead. I've seen it on Twitter, man. People, he's dead. He's pointless.
The only thing that's going to be dead around it is like Uncle Ben looking at a reboot for the fourth time, saying like, "For fuck's sakes, I can only die so many times." You know, Robert Baratheon.
You've got to wheel this guy out to get shot, stabbed. All he is that like little bread and butter, that foundation of the story.
You know what I mean? Like give me something for the pain and leave me to die.
But yeah, man, Spider-Man's dead. Like I've seen Twitter. I've been on it. People, it's dead. It's done, mate.
Like
there can be no more Spider-Man. Out. Yeah, people forget that it's been around since 1960 fucking one or whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is corporations are essentially huge fucking douches. And they will do stuff purely to spite another company.
I think, genuinely, Spider-Man should have been passed into the public domain by now. That fucking should have happened a long time ago. Surely.
Well.
Mate, most comic book fucking characters should have. Like, it's only like 50-odd years, isn't it?
Well, there's this whole thing about, was it the creator of Batman?
The Mickey Mouse fucking rule. It always comes back to Disney.
Well, follow the money, mate. Follow the money.
Well, funnily enough, if they didn't have that rule, they could still use Spider-Man. Very funny, very funny. But no, we aren't dead. We're swinging through Spider-Man. We're reading through Spider-Man comics for the very first time. We're 68 issues in, plus all the bonus shit we've done. I'm James. That's Brad. We're Spider-Man fans now. We can say that.
Oh, definitely. without a
shadow of a doubt. I stan Spider-Man, Brad. Can I say that?
You can. But
you're not happy about it.
I'm not happy about it, no.
Oh, that's upsetting. I'm a Spider-Man fan and I'm proud, but I think what we do have to start the podcast is this isn't gonna be a podcast that helps Peter Parker along his life issues. No, we do not respect Spider-Man. We don't respect the comic books.
Yeah, we shit all over it.
Yeah, they're great things, but we are not here for a laugh. Well, we are here for a laugh.
Oh, that's the only thing we're here for.
We're here to kind of read it and offer our interpretations. And our interpretations aren't good. They're so shitty. And we take so many shots at so many people. And people were sad that we took shots at Donald Trump. But everybody gets one.
It's either all on the table or it's all off the table.
You know, there's a very select few that I don't take shots on. And that's because there's no funny jokes. You know what I mean? Like, if it's up for it, British humour is you pull the gun and you pull the trigger, except we don't have actual guns. No, humour is the gun.
We only hurt your soul, not your physicality.
Oh, yeah, we don't really have much of a tangent for the start, Brad. So shall we get into it? We're at the Amazing Spider-Man 68, and I think it's relatively pointless.
Oh, mate, it feels like forever since we've actually been back onto an Amazing Spider-Man comic.
So we read like the annual and the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine, and both were they were sick. They were good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Spider-Man went to Algeria. What I forgot to say is when I'd done my DNA test, you know, when you spit into the tube, send it off.
I did not know that you've done that. You do know that to keep that shit on, keep that shit on ice for a very long time.
Well, my nan says she's French. That's a lie.
Your nan's a dirty liar.
That's a lie. She's possibly Algerian. So I have just taken. I spent the whole episode taking shots at my homeland.
I could just imagine now, like frantically searching through ancestry.com, just trying to find the liar in your family. Which one are you? That all says you are French.
They're all liars. Like my granddad hates America. Guess where he's from? We always thought he was Irish, and he is, but he was one of the Irish people that went to America and come back because I didn't make it.
Oh, wounder. Yeah,
sad times, man, sad times. But I do digress, man. Spider-Man went to Algeria. He found out about his parents, so he did find out about his lineage. It works, a tangent works.
You don't have to spit in a tube for it.
No, you can just go to Algeria and...
have a fight with a chair.
Cause acts of international terrorism. We found out a few like little tidbits about that Algeria trip. That Red Skull wasn't the real Red Skull. He wasn't the Nazi one. There was a communist one as well that they retrofitted to make communists like bad. So right now he's not a Nazi anymore. He's literally red. Literally red.
Red Skull that's red. Yeah, I kind of feel a little bit lied to.
Yeah, I feel like...
The old bait and switch.
I wanted the real one. I wanted the legit Nazi Red Skull, but he must have been on ice. And Larry Lieber, I think he's Stan Lee's brother. I think it was Eric that said this. A loyal listener, Eric, who said that Larry Lieber, who helped out with one of the jobs on the Spider-Man Annual 5, he's Stan Lee's brother, and Stan Lee's name obviously is Lieber, which is always upon Wikipedia, but you never take it in because he's Stan Lee.
What's his first name then? Is he Staniel?
Staniel Lieber. Stan, I don't know. It just says Stanley. Like, it just says, no, Stanley Martin Lieber.
Okay. You know, sometimes you just got to keep it in the family.
And of course, we read the Spectacular Spider-Man magazine, which was like the best Green Goblin story that we've read. Probably one of the, it was probably the best one, actually, looking back at it.
It was fantastic. There wasn't a single panel that wasn't packed with complete drama, especially that sit-down meal. So, you know, when your aunt's in town and she's like, no, I'm picking up the bill. And it's just like, no, we can't allow you to do that. And it's just like you love someone so much that you want to punch them in the face for offering to buy a bill.
Yeah, you're not paying for yourself. You are not paying for this bill.
You are a visitor. And they're like, no. I'm paying this fucking bill. And you like stare at each other and you literally have to wrestle down the fucking waiter in order to pay for the bill.
It sounds particularly intense, dining situation.
I was about to say, I don't know if that's just everyone's family or just mine.
No, it is true, because you just get frustrated. You're just like, I'm fucking playing a bill. Because it's just like kicks off. And it is a front.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not everyone knows it's a front.
Just like, you know.
You know, if they get saddled with the whole fucking thing, they're going to regret it. Like, they don't want to be as well, but they want to seem like they want to be.
It's essentially like a game of Russian roulette, but whose credit card's going to get shot?
Well, now you can do like Venmo, can't you, and split it on PayPal? Like, you could just like split that pie six ways.
in every sense of the matter.
But yeah, man, we're picking up the tab of The Amazing Spider-Man now, Brad. We're going back into the main canon. That was banging, and that was fucking sick.
I love it.
We're going back into The Amazing Spider-Man now. We're at issue 68. It's 1969.
Oh, we're getting there. Taste the 70s.
Yeah, Spider-Man has been around 6 years. 1963 creation, I believe. We're hitting the 70s soon, but it's getting there. This story's a bit progressive, Brad.
Ooh.
It's a bit progressive in terms of the kind of ongoings in it, but no. Written, of course, by Stan Lee, penciled and art by Jim Mooney, letters Sammy Rosen, storyboard John Romita laying down them lines.
Okay. So
when someone did say we were fucking it up, they were bang on.
Like legit, like Romita just did some fucking squiggles on a page.
20 issues going, John Romita's a god. He is. we attributed so much work to him.
Oh, we are surely going to copyright now.
Well, Brad, issue 68, Amazing Spider-Man, Crisis on Campus. Starting off, bang on, it's the Kingpin. He's here. He's back in it straight
away, man.
Straight from the get-go.
big old full page panel, crisis on the campus.
And my man is looking at a PowerPoint presentation, but it's a slideshow of an ancient kind of ancient language tablet that no one can decipher.
You reckon that they would still have that problem? Like, you know, when you try to play a video in PowerPoint and it don't quite work so well, so you have to like close the video, close the PowerPoint like super unprofessionally and go onto YouTube in order to load up the video from a separate browser.
So like when we did the video class in school, and you don't realize the connection between file assets and the, you know, the time on the work project, and if they're not on the same USB stick, it doesn't exist. You know what I mean? just find out when you put it on screen, you're just like, oh, it's blank and it's got the music and nothing.
Premiere Pro just sitting there like shrugging its shoulders like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
We had a Windows Movie Maker. It wasn't no Adobe.
Oh man, did you not have access to an Adobe?
Brad, we both used it at school. Windows Movie Maker, there was no other option.
It is coming back to me now. Oh, I use Corel Draw, which isn't even Adobe. Fuck, our school was terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, God.
You can read up about our school and the antics. There are antics, man.
Oh, that you can read about. Tell people about our school.
The antics.
And no one wants to hear about our school.
It is honestly, like, because in America, things happen at schools, awful things happen at schools, right? And in England, it doesn't really happen. Like, nothing major happens. Our school's seen some shit. our school is still in the fucking news twice. And it's the same geezer.
I can't believe it's like 10 years on and we're still in the news about the same thing. So stupid.
Yeah. I'll link it in the show notes because we can't go on. I'm linking it. You can read about our fucking school. through this podcast, me and Brad have a valid claim to be the most successful people from the fucking school. But no, the Kingpin's got a PowerPoint presentation on display. I'm not going to even go onto the transition tangent. I was going to go, do you know when you get the cool animations, not ignoring it.
Star wipes.
Yeah. How would you do that with the projector? You'd have to manually do it.
You'd have to manually push the slide into the side, to the side of the other slide.
But like, do you know when it spins onto the screen?
Just this really fucking geeky, nerdy guy just spinning the slide.
Slapping the back of the screen, making it wobble. can we get onto page two? Is it right if we get onto page two of the issue?
No, we will fucking rip to shreds this terrible little one-panel slideshow until the cows come home.
Well, no, the Kingpin, he's got a new project now. The project is to get this stone tablet that's been kind of pushed before him. Well, the slideshow of it, the project, it's there. It's his next goal. It's his next raid. It's an ancient petrified tablet. His assistants are looking at it and they're telling him all about it, going, you know, no one can decipher it. It's newly discovered. No one knows what it means. There's probably some massive secrets actually to do with this stone tablet that no one really...
Rosetta Stone and shit.
It's worth a shitload, basically.
There's
a lot of power behind it. So Kingpin's looking at it and he's going, you're gonna give me that fucking tablet. What? I can't even do his voice.
It's gone.
It's so long. It's gone. But no, he's there and he's really angry about the fact that the tablet is now at Empire State University. And as close as it is, if he goes for it, that means Spider-Man's going to be there, because Spider-Man's the local hero around that place.
Aye. So almost as though he's like a student or something.
But if he goes for the tablet, right, he's going to have to fight Spider-Man, and that kind of enrages him. It thrills him because he wants to beat Spider-Man, but it enrages him because he can't let himself forget basically that he owes Spider-Man a fucking beatdown.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah, everybody gets one.
It's just like opposite the PowerPoint, there's a massive chalkboard with literally Kingpin on one side, Spider-Man on the other, with just one strike against it.
Well, his assistant looks like Harry Osborn as well.
It does, doesn't it? It's just kind without like the corn.
Harry Osborn.
Yeah. And not Norman Osborn, just like...
Straight up Harry, the weak one.
The receding hairline.
Oh, he's fucking 18, man.
Male pattern baldness is not a
joke. No, it's not even male pattern baldness. The geezer looks 47.
Oh yeah, with that little dicky bone.
He's got like He's riddled with fucking eczema. You know, he's got dry, itchy skin. He's so thin. His knees must be bleeding when he stretches them. Like, you know, when the joint has to articulate and he stretches the skin too far.
That's the real effects of stress, my friend.
Exactly, it is. Yeah. So Harry Osborn's under stress, as we all know, because he's probably going to find out his dad's the Green Goblin at some point.
Yep, very soon.
Going to be very funny for us all. Not for him. Absolutely not for him.
Everyone else is just going to be like, oh my God, I had no idea that your dad was an absolute wacko lunatic. And Harry's going to be like, why didn't no one tell me?
Like, oh, Harry, I had no idea that your dad was a cunt. The guy's a dickhead in his normal life. It's not much of a stretch. It doesn't even matter that much. So, oh, fucking wow, the dickhead's a dickhead. Basically, the Kingpin is so angry at the mention of Spider-Man, he rips his smoking jacket off. He says, right, okay, let's fight. And the panel turns around and he rips his smoking jacket off and he's in a gym. Don't know where this has come from.
Mate, it's like a montage. It's like it's like a legitimate montage. Like, you can imagine that. It is. It's just like, how'd you go from smoking jacket to gym? Bearing in mind, this man is stealing his trousers. Like,
he's still got his loafers. He saw his 16 loafers and that waist 47 slacks.
Man, the geezer literally looks like a shriveled testicle, man. Like, look at how much strain is in that face for him to rip off his smoking jacket.
And he rips that smoking jacket off. The next panel, literally next panel, as it's still the same action, and he's in a different room.
He's an entirely separate room. Like,
it's like a different day, and he's continuing to comment like the sentence.
Right, here's what I'm saying, man. Establishing shots are important. This is jarring, to say the best.
Like, you can get away with a lot in comics by skipping like panel to panel. The guy is halfway through a fucking sentence.
This is what I'm saying, man. It's like a montage, you know, when he like zooms in on the face and then it zooms back out and they're in a different situation.
But he's saying the fucking same thing, Brad.
Like, imagine Mulan, but with Kingpin. You know, let's get down to business. But with Kingpin's big burly body.
It's just he's in like a kind of wet office, you know, them damp offices, and it's just like the windows are full of condensation, it's shit in there, and the curtains drawn, it's like, it's so bright in here now, and it looks shit. Then the next panel, he's in like a little warehouse with a floor-to-ceiling gated window, loads of geezers pumping iron, that it's a gym.
It's like, it is a legitimate gym. It's got
the apparatus,
yeah, on the wall. But he turns round, and I'm gonna just throw this one out there. He's wearing literally nothing underneath his smoking jacket, so titties flopping left, right, and centre. Like, this bear of a man has just interrupted everyone in the middle of their set, and he's just started punching fuckers left, right.
So the Kingpin's in a room. He's kicking ass. He's laying out all his henchmen for whatever reason.
Literally in the middle of sets, like in the middle of lifting weights, like literally there's like, you know, Slick Dan and Stabby Steve just there, like, one, two, three, and then it's just like Kingpin laying the fucker out.
So, hello, you fucking cunts. He wants to tango with the Kingpin.
Oh my god, the next page is him just still kicking
just
the shit
kicking
out of
this. There's so much. There's so much like male flesh on display.
It is literally just to show the prowess of Kingpin, just because he's a large fella. You know, he knows taekwondo, he's fucking best in a jiu-jitsu guy, he's best in a karate guy, he's best in a boxer. You know, he's to sure show you that he's like, he ain't above the UFC, man. He's ready to go for that ground and pound.
Okay, fast. I can fucking move, right?
But it is, man. He moves so... Oh, mate. You see him slap that geezer.
But he's telling people as well. He's like no one guesses how fast and powerful I am. And I'm like, well, you're just showing them. They know. They believe it.
I was about to say, after you fucking murked the first geezer, I'm pretty sure everyone would realise.
The hell? It's just... And the henchmen are saying the longer we can keep him fighting, the more he pays us. So it's just like... These people know their job is to get their ass kicked. It's very funny. There's one excellent guy completely upside down as well.
Completely upside down.
Well, he basically takes this room out. His assistants come and put his smoking jacket back on, and he's just like sweating and laughing, and he's like, he doesn't want any of them there. He doesn't want nothing to do with them because he's beat them. And he just takes them all out. After he's done with them all, he goes, right, time for the tablet, time for Spider-Man.
Stabby Steve's just like, excuse me, Mr. Kingpin, could I please get my P45 before I get lost?
Get the fuck out.
Could I get a referral, please?
Get the
fuck out. Just from a resume. I'm sorry, sir. I tried so hard. You just moved too fast.
Fuck off.
Okay, sir. There's more gym apparatus now that it's moving through the
yeah, it's got the hoops and that in it. It's got just the hoops, like, yeah. They're adding stuff now, and you're like, yeah, it wasn't there before.
Yeah, but like in the background of that, there's bookcases. Is this an office come gym?
That those books must be, their pages must be cold with the fucking humidity.
It's nout but sweat.
Shall we catch up with Spider-Man?
Of course.
Spider-Man is locked out of his apartment.
How does he not have a key? Could he not climb through the window, which seems to be like all the fucking time?
Well, he goes to climb through the window, and the windows are locked, except Harry Osborn, his flatmate, Peter Parker's flatmate, Peter Parker. Of course, Spider-Man, he goes to climb through his window. His window's locked, so he goes to Harry's window, which is open, but he's like, I can't really climb through Harry's window, because Harry might be in there.
I mean, all it takes is just knocking on the window and then like hiding above it or something, because then it would be like Harry would come to the window if he was in to open it. But
there'll be no one there. And then he'll just start crying at the windowsill.
Just like a cat, just there like... Right, how come Peter's window's locked, but Harry's is open? Did Harry just all of a sudden get very safety conscious? Decided to just fucking lock Peter's window instead of his own.
Well, Peter knows that there's every chance that some fucking rabid, crazy person could come flying through that window any second with pumpkin bombs.
That's a good point. That's a very good...
Harry Osborn's like... Harry Osborn's just it's a bit humid in New York today. Let's open the old window.
You know, it's so typical. You open your window for 10 seconds and you always get these kind of insects coming in.
Well, yeah, literally, Spider-Man sneaks through the window. You know, the lights are left on, these bugs crawling in. It's like, you're paying any rent, guys? don't see you shilling out for any of this rent. No, Spider-Man goes through that window and he's not even paying rent. And he says to himself, I wonder how he'd feel if Harry ever learned that he's been sharing his pad with Spider-Man all these months. It would be almost as bad as learning that his dad's the Green Goblin, so he swings around about to apples and pears and all that. Harry Osborn's life is a thread away from just complete disaster.
At least if Harry ever finds out that Pete's Spider-Man, then that is just a quick diversion, man. Just throw that fucker out. Just be like, yeah, your dad's Green Goblin. And you'd be like,
you fucking...
what's Harry mad about then?
What's the pressing issue of me being a fucking superhero or your dad being a fucking terrorist? And he don't like you either. He only liked you when he hit his head hard enough.
Fucking
hell. It is true. It's true, though.
But the thing is, though, that, like, Harry is... Not Harry. Norman has said in the past, like, you know, ever since his wife died and was left to raise Harry by himself, it's like, everything I do is out of love. And it's like, no, it's not.
Everything
no, it's not.
Do Why is he even the Green Goblin, though? That's the thing. He's like, there is no reason.
Oh, yeah, none.
He's just so angry. He's like, how am I? I am so rich and I can just fuck it all up if I really wanted to. So, yeah. Yeah, why not? He just wakes up and puts on a fucking latex mask and starts blowing people up.
Now, you know, it is. It's like, you know, when old men, you know, midlife crisis and that, and they get themselves like a ridiculously big bike.
That's it.
Or a lazy boy armchair. And you walk down one day and it's like, the fuck did you buy this for?
It sounds like your dad.
I was
fucking upgrading the house into a smart home.
Mate, I'm fed up of asking Google to turn off lights nowadays. Like, it makes sense, the living room lights and that. It makes sense because you're settling in, you know, you're just stuck on a movie. You don't want to get up to turn off the light and get back to your chair. So you ask for it to turn it off. But it's in the kitchen. It's in the kitchen lights, man. You've got to walk past the switch to turn off the light. What's the point? It takes more time to ask Google to fucking turn the fucker on than it does to just manually turn it. Oh, you know what? Wait. I'm not getting into it.
Alexa, please turn the light off. I want to just break completely and utterly broken at fucking Skynet in control.
They
I thought
will
the apocalypse would be coming via the nukes, but in fact, I can't turn the light off and go to sleep.
See, I say thank you to my Google Home once I'm done asking it to do stuff, because I know that when it comes to the apocalypse, it will remember in its infinite data banks.
Well, Peter Parker, mate, he wakes up the next one and goes to Empire State University. He's a bit blue, right, because he's got no money. He can't afford. He had to sell his bike a few issues ago. He's kind of hoping there's a superhero union that can help him demand a living wage. He literally thinks that. Like, you fucking hell, you have got a long way. You've got a long time to learn that.
He shows up to the rally and just finds out it's Fathers for Justice. Everyone all dressed up for superheroes. Just like...
You aren't actually superheroes, are you? You're just sad. You just hurt.
We're responsible adult parents. Excuse me, sir. Can you come down here? I can't hear you screaming that you're a responsible adult parent from 60 foot on the top of a building.
Surely the best way to see your child again would not put yourself into, you know, not be to put yourself into a position where you can fall off Buckingham Palace and die.
It's definitely not the way forward.
Well, Pete bumps into Randy Robertson, who is Joe Robertson's son. He's the city editor of the Daily Bugle, the paper Peter freelances at. And we saw Randy last time because he was a bit upset at his dad's house. Well, last time meaning issue 67, which was a few episodes ago now. We saw Randy, who was a bit upset, and his dad had to talk to him. And his dad doesn't really know what's going on, but there's something clearly boiling up inside Randy. He bumps into Peter Parker. He's like, hey, man, aren't you Peter Parker? And Peter says, if you're not a bill collector, yes. Because it's another money reference. I'm poor. I'm broke. He's wearing a fucking cashmere sweater.
Oh, yeah, but that was back when he was rolling in it, you know, when he could spend money on these luxuries, such as, you know, almost a grand on a costume.
And then again,
that being said, cosplayers will literally just be nodding along and being like, that's cheap.
Bang on. Randy's come out and asked him, right, my dad told me to look you up. He said the hotshot freelance photographer was a big man on campus. You got the wrong idea.
Oh, yeah, completely.
You got the wrong idea there, Randy. Randy, you got the wrong idea. But Peter kind of hits it off. He's like, it's cool. Joe Robertson's son. His name's Randolph.
Nah, you're lying.
His name's Randolph. Peter calls him Randy.
Yeah, better. Even in Randy's not a great name.
And as they're speaking and kind of hitting it off, Randy's mate turns up called Josh. And Josh looks like if Stevie Wonder wasn't blind.
No, it looks as though if Kanye West and Drake had a kid.
He doesn't. I can't say that.
I fully can. Like, you know, Drake's like shit hairline and then Kanye West's like shit fro.
Yes.
Like, put that together. Yeah.
Okay. It's there.
Okay. You with me now?
It's there. I have to say, Josh comes on quite strong.
Oh, like right strong.
He comes real, real strong. He basically walks in and Randy's like, oh, hi, Josh. Say hello to Pete Parker. Josh comes straight in. He goes, hi, Randy. I want to ask you something, Peter. Where do you stand on the exhibition hall issue?
Like, that is right strong. Fuck? That is all the way up. Josh is like, got to open up with, a line.
What do you think of that? What do you think of the Hadron Force Collider? Just bringing the shit right in.
Pressing issues, man. To be fair, it is a tech university. I'd imagine that it's quite common to start conversations with quite a highbrow topic, you know, good talking point from around campus.
And I mean, this is just lurching into the 70s. It'd be like, hey, what do you think of code? Code's cool, right? Yeah, you're tapping on that big computer, right?
don't you think how they've managed to squeeze one computer into a room is now really fucking small?
Hey, Pete, have you ever tapped the keyboard and pressed 1 + 1 and the computer says 2?
it's so fucking good.
Wow. I wonder what you'll be able to do in 2019, right?
When was Pong invented? I feel like that was like...
They didn't have access
way off,
to
isn't it?
Fucking Pong. Pong was 72.
Okay, so it's not too far, but this isn't it.
They can definitely press 1 on the keyboard and 1 comes up on the screen and then they have to press what plus and then...
That's the only thing computers were good for in the 60s.
You can add and then go, right, we can't type anything except numbers. But Josh says, he tells him the issue, the exhibition hall issue. Basically, they've got this clay tablet there, right? It's an exhibition. Once that clay tablet is moved onto a new university, they're turning the students' exhibition hall into a private dormitory for the visiting former students, the alumni, not the actual current students. And Pete says, hey, isn't it meant to be for the students? So, and Joshua says, now you get in with it, dog. We've been petitioning. He almost says that. He says, man, I thought he said dog. He says, we've been petitioning the dean to turn the hall into a low rent dorm for needy students because all the old graduates are loaded. They don't need a dormitory here.
Right, Josh, let me stop you right there, Josh. Old graduates are not loaded. If you think they are...
Dad, this is 69. If you were a graduate in 69, you were instantly given £6 million. I'm sure that's how it works.
I was about to say, I'm not... I'm worse off now, and I was eating beans when I was in uni, like literally living off beans and super noodles. And I am literally worse off now.
Well, basically, it seems like the students are getting pretty riled up, and Josh kind of goes that we're not going to be really taking this for long. If they want to give it to rich people, fuck them. So
I feel like every other issue, they just want a reason to protest, just because Marvel wants to be like, yeah, we're on with this protest in Malarkey, man.
I do remember listening to something, and it was about the origin of Spider-Man, and there was a protest in like a slide. Well, it wasn't this issue, I don't think, but Steve Ditko wanted Spider-Man to swing over and go, ah, fucking kids, fucking what did I know? And Stan Lee wanted him to get involved with it.
Ooh, difference in creativity.
Very funny. But now Peter Parker's like balancing it. He's like, ooh, I need to see both sides. Whoa, I'm educated. I'm intelligent. You would think, being a university student, even if he disagreed, he'd get involved with it for the fucking hell of it. But he's kind of really apprehensive about it. But anyway, as Josh and Randy walk off, Gwen Stacy kind of comes behind Pete, puts hand over his eyes and goes, peekaboo, guess who? And he says, and this is Gwen, right, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy, his fucking girlfriend, puts his hands over his eyes and says, guess who? And he says, hey, Mary Jane.
Oh! Instant doghouse, my friend.
And she's like, Mary Jane, what? It's me, it's Gwen. And Pete's just like, Spidey sense, where were you when I needed you? And I'm like, you should know your girlfriend's fucking voice.
Could have been worse. You could have put the hands around his eyes and said, guess who? And he's like, fucking Green Goblin! No, and just like, ow! Punched her in the face.
Ham's dead. The Green Goblin. He gets out of it somehow, and they hit it off, and they're doing the whole lovebirds thing of, oh, you know, my gorgeous Gwendolyn and all that rubbish. And it skips.
Nah, it definitely wouldn't work that way.
Definitely didn't. He should have got hit. He should have got hit in the head.
Instant.
But Randy's dad, Joe Robertson, at the Daily Bugle, is distracted at his day job because he wants to know what's bugging his son. So this seems like a big thing, even though he keeps flashing between it over a few issues now. Like, his dad's kind of...
Yeah, it was real glossed over before and just sort of shoehorned into the comic, if I remember correctly. And now it's rearing its head again.
Well, the next day, Pete heads to campus and he notices the large protest led by Josh and Randy.
Okay, so the instigators, considering Randy's only just got on campus.
Guys literally turned up there for a second and went, shit's fucked.
I can really get behind this cause, which I feel no way about at all.
But no, they want to cause a scene. They want protesters to march on the exhibition hall. And Peter starts going like, slow down. Stop. What are you involved me in? He actually flips out, you know.
Jesus.
Well, Josh comes over and says, look, Whitey.
Rough.
How much do you got to know? How much do you have to know about this? The school's turning our fucking the hall against us. It's turning it over to the establishment. It belongs to us. We're going to get it. We're going to fucking get it. It's our hall. And then Peter flips out again. He goes, that's your fucking starter, sorry.
Oh, his channeling is in a JJ.
Yeah, proper. That's literally something that JJ would say.
Legit.
He's saying, what does the dean say? The dean, obviously, the head of the school. And he's like, you don't need to know what the dean's going to say because he's trying to sell part of the fucking university to get money. That's clearly, there's no other side, basically.
I'm just wondering how you turn an exhibition hall into housing.
It'd be fucking drafty.
It would be very drafty. And just like lines of bunk beds.
Well, Pete walks off and he's pissed. He's right fucked off, man. He's really annoyed. And Randy says, where are you going? We've got a sign. And Pete says, anyone can pay a sign. That doesn't make it right. And walks off and Josh says, cut out your chicken. And I do like the fact he got called Whitey because I think Pete would be really pissed off about that. He'd be like, yeah, no, I'm down with you. You don't have to mention my skin colour. I'm down. Like he'd be one.
He's just like, yeah, I've got black friends. I've got Robbie and, oh, shit.
The other one. fuck.
Ooh.
I think the loot, what was that guy's name? The one from space, he might have been. Oh no, I'm not Spider-Man. I'm not Spider-Man. I did hit a costume villain. He could have been black. Who knows? He was under a costume.
It's all right. I punch white guys as well.
Mostly white guys.
Mostly white guys. Yeah.
But no, I do think it was funny. It was called Whitey because I think like he'd be one of the guys that goes, it's a bit racist, isn't it? Like any. Oh, he'd be really upset. He'd be like, well, put the shoe on the other foot. And I think we'd be kicking off here, wouldn't it? But no, you did. You did. You. Pete, that pissed off, he walks into the exhibition hall to have a look at the tablet. And he's upset with himself. He's like, you did it again. You know, you were on their side. And because you felt they were pushing you around, you flipped off. But no. Why? I don't know why I've done that, basically.
Just doesn't like to have his mind made up for him. I can kind of get that.
But then he goes out and says, I'm on their side, and I flipped out at them.
I was about to say, if someone's echoing your thoughts back to you, then you definitely shouldn't be flipping out about it. Unless someone's telling you something that you quite clearly know, like over and over again.
Because it's just weird. He's just like, I'm in the dark. Slow down. Tell me what's going on. I don't really fully agree. And then Josh does come in and cause him water. It's so funny.
The thing is, as well, is that if you have a look at that panel, you can like, you can literally see the point in which Peter's offended Gene gets triggered.
Pete does get triggered there, doesn't he? He fully does. Like, we shouldn't say it lightly because it's a PTSD thing, but that makes him see fucking red.
Oh yeah,
like he flips out. But even when he's walking past the stone tablet, he's going on about, oh, we do really need a low rent dorm on campus because it would help out a lot of people.
Meanwhile, in his cashmere sweater,
yeah.
His free rent in a luxury penthouse apartment just outside the state, paid for by a millionaire. Yeah, yeah, Peter, you're one of the people.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Peter. Josh and Randy have riled up the protest crowd and they're marching on the hall now.
God, I hope there's no invaluable tablet in there.
They get quite a big crowd and Randy and Josh really, really, really up for it. Josh defending Randy, saying Randy's a soul brother. Don't ever, ever forget that, you know. Don't ever, to the crowd, to the instigators, like, Randy's one of us. Randy's cool. Randy's here to stay. So let's march on this town hall. They get to the steps and they say, well, we've got to get that dorm. We've got to get that low rent dorm. So we need everyone cover this. We've got to take over the hall. They rush the hall and get inside of the hall.
It's the only way to be heard, man. You got to cause a disturbance like that.
Meanwhile, at the Daily Bugle, J. Jonah Jameson is looking at the TV, seeing a load of young kids, not all his colour, and he's getting really riled up, thinking there's a story here. It's a riot, apparently.
He's just banging the top of the TV, just going, yes, yes.
Yeah, he's like, it's a riot.
We're gonna throw that book at them. Meanwhile,
this
Robbie's
is the
just
cost of diversity.
Robbie looks up and then JJ's just going, of age and classes. I don't mean about the skin thing. Robbie, don't leave.
They get in their coats and they run. It's a story. He calls it a riot. It's not much of a riot. It's like when the England fans went into IKEA and kicked the bed. It's like it's not a riot.
Yeah, but that cost that IKEA in damages, but made them so much money in shit meatballs.
It cost IKEA £17.50. I bet you. It's like when one drunk England fan gets on top of a police car and the windscreen cracks and they're like, how could you have done this? How could you have done this?
To be fair, when I see that, I'm just like, oh, fuck, there goes my tax.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, if someone jumps on a car and breaks a screen, it's very funny. Like, because it's not like I've got a baseball bat and I like, just went to town. It's not like I was just dancing on the car and they fell over and their fat ass went through the windscreen. It's funny.
There's that video not too long ago of the dude jumping on top of the bus stop.
And it goes straight through. But people say that's a riot, and I'm like, yeah, a riot of laughter. It is a riot.
It's not a riot until one car is flipped.
Well, the Kingpin's also watching on, and he thinks this riot, so-called riot, this gathering, this protest, is the perfect cover to commit a raid on the stone tablet.
Well, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Yeah, it's not a wrong. Huge diversion. A lot of people occupying that space. If you're going to do it, now's the time.
So in the exhibition hall where Peter Parker's by the stone tablet, the police guarding it, of course. They're guarding it all the time. The demonstration gets close to the stone tablet. And they pull fucking guns, man.
He's pulling a strap.
You know, he's out, fucking man. Scanning that crowd. The second he sees it's like a darker skin tone. The fucking second, he's gone.
Mate, the hammer,
he's gone for it.
The hammer is already cocked.
he's not even a cop. He's a fucking guard, like a mall cop.
Are you within your rights to shoot somebody if you are a security guard on private property in a public area?
I will answer this for you. Absolutely not, because you are not a cop. If you're a security guard, you are not a cop. Do you know when a security guard gets like hit by a car and he survives and they go, oh, thank God another policeman didn't die? It's like he was a fucking security guard.
We're the thin yellow line.
It's like there's only one.
You know, this guy wants to get like damaged so he could like be a hero on Facebook.
Paul Blart.
Yeah. Like, us small cops get a bad rap, but we are the ones guarding your shoes from thieves.
I feel like these security guards would employ the South Park logic of they're coming right at us.
Fucking Black Friday. You're allowed to pull guns because this is a mall and they're acting like zombies. But Josh says, he's in the crowd, we could get our hands on that tablet and then they have to listen to us. And Randy says, hey, calm down, that's stealing. That is, you know, that's fucked. But Peter Parker walks in and he defuses the argument. He's like, don't do it, Josh. Randy's right. Stealing's bad.
Look at every motherfucker around Peter just like, who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck is this guy?
They're all Irish redheads. Who the fuck is this guy?
He just stormed in, bearing in mind that fucking mob mentality is kicking in hard. He's just like, don't do it, guys.
But the police pull the gun and they chase the students. Well, it's not even police. I keep saying the police. It's a fucking security guard. They're chasing these students around. The fucking
you know, these security guards are the kind of geezers that see vets and they're just like, yep, did 2 tours of Walmart today.
Did 2 tours of fucking Walmart.
You know, it's just, sometimes it's just them and us, you know.
Survived the great fucking Foot Locker War, man. Operation Subway. It's so ridiculous, man. What if they got guns?
It's America. Who hasn't?
I know, I get that, but these guys aren't qualified to pull that fucking trigger.
See, I'm not gonna act as though I know enough about gun law in America to actually say whether or not if they
if it's your property, Roy, we won't get into the conversation if it's your property and someone's intruding on it, because that's not our conversation. If it's a security guard, it's not their fucking property. It's not their fucking property.
They've been employed to look after said property.
It's not theirs. So Peter Parker's kind of stuck in this skirmish and he realises it's not really the place to be, but you know, it'd be a miracle if no one gets hurt, but why not take some photos and get some money?
Fucking capitalist scum.
Yeah, no, he goes outside, gets his camera out, starts leaning through the window, taking photos of the protest. The Kingpin turns up in his like...
I'm just imagining Pete just being like, Josh, could you take off your hippie tinted shades, please? Because I really want to see the hurt in your eyes.
Yeah, Josh, look at me and look really angry like you're going to hurt me. And this will make the best front page spread on the Daily Bugle.
JJ just foaming at the mouth for something like that.
Fucking licking his lips, boy. Kingpin turns up in his nice car. They're looking around a college campus. There's a big deal. There's a big diversion going on, but Kingpin has another diversion planned. He walks away from the car, asks his henchmen to pull the trigger, and a dirty bomb they've set up goes off.
For some reason, I don't feel like you really needed a second diversion.
Name of the fucking game, Bradley. I had to really think about that there. Name of the fucking game.
It's all right. It's coming back slowly. It's coming back.
Quite slowly there. But no, he needs to go for the tablet. He needs that tablet. So the gang roll up, set off a bomb. Kingpin rips the door off, screaming at these students who are now thinking, what the fuck is going on? We are here for a good time.
I was about to say, imagine that poor student that genuinely needs the low rent accommodation now being literally flattened by a door.
Ripped off the hinges by one of the richest fat men in New York City. Quite literally the fat cat.
Oh, mate, it's happened.
It's done.
Fucking mic drop.
But he's walking through and he's they've put sound effects on his feet as well.
Tump. Man makes a tump.
Tump, tump, tump.
Why did he have to do this in person?
And he walks past Peter as well. Peter says, like, fuck, it's a Kingpin. This is bad.
He can't even put the jigsaw puzzles together. He's just like, the fuck is he doing here?
the guy didn't give a shit about the police, but the security guards pulling guns on fucking kids.
Those security guards are fucking weak sauce, man.
The security guards should be firing on the kingpin.
Exactly like
this is what you're here to be fucking shooting at.
Fire till you're just clicking, mate. Fire until you're just clicking.
It's like when a rhino's running at you, you've got to shoot back to 20 fucking times.
Empty the clip.
Double tap.
Jeff, empty the clip.
But the kingpin marches past Peter Parker and fucking puts his hand on his chest and thumps into the side.
Peter's just been pushed about all day today.
He does say, "Hey, mister, where do you think you're going?" Pinky's up. Fucking just pushes him over. But then he turns back and he says, "Huh, you know, I felt strength from that student."
It's just raw animalistic power.
Yeah, and then he goes onto the tablet anyway. The kingpin marching down that hall. He's took the door off. He walks through the protesters. Randy and Josh are standing alone to protect the protest and keep it real. And the kingpin's lurching towards them. As the kingpin gets close, and as Randy realizes that these guys are armed, Spider-Man appears, which was Peter Parker getting changed in a fucking broom cupboard.
It's lucky that the broom cupboard was nearby.
And he jumps straight in. He goes over the head of the protesters straight in to the skirmish, mate.
Oh yeah. That's a good panel, man. Just straight over the top of him.
And he manages to kind of sucker punch the kingpin in the back of the head as the kingpin's kind of like moving in on that goddamn tablet.
Let me tell you now, the back of the skull is the thickest and heaviest part of the skull. If you're going to hit anyone there, probably not the best idea.
But he does whack him straight in the head. And knocks a cane out of his hand, so that's the laser cane.
Oh, the laser cane. Man, he's got all the tricks, hasn't he, man? Hasn't he got that gas lapel as well?
Yeah, I think he's fired gas from the cane, and he's got a gas mask on that makes him look like Bane.
Oh, shit, yeah?
Like, he does fully look like Bane. From Batman.
Crossing this line.
That's
Mysterio.
It's the same thing. I've completely lost Kingpin voice. I'm really upset with myself.
Mate, just the biggest, fattest Cockney geezer you can muster in your mind.
Yo, you fucking cunt.
There we go. There it is.
Kingpin moves in on Spider-Man, puts him in a big bear hug, tries to break his bones. And he does the military press of Spider-Man, slaps him off the floor. Spider-Man does his old duck and dive and dodge. Randy Robertson, the little kid, jumps on the Kingpin's back and he's smashed against the wall, but it gives Spider-Man the opening he needs to punch fucking Kingpin square in his stomach.
Oh, that's
then deliver the combo of justice, man.
Man's mashing triangle and square. Mashing the pillars.
Batman 66 is like, duh, 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 duh. The Kingpin is flat out. Spider-Man goes over to Randy, who says, "You know, I'll live. It hurt. My head is cracked into four pieces."
Yeah, I was about to say, he's so fucking lucky to be alive.
And the Kingpin gets a little diversion he actually needs now. Gets the cane, shoots at Spider-Man and Randy. Misses, but it brings down a bit of the exhibition hall. Spider-Man needs to choose between going for Kingpin or rescuing Randy. Of course, he's going to rescue Randy. He swings around, checks back, and the Kingpin has gone with the tablet. And he's like, "Never have I known such total fucking triumph ever."
He gets back into his car and he's rocking back and forth. He's like, "Fucking yes!"
Literally, quite literally, he's staring at this wall, screaming.
Like, you know, in is it Vegeta when he finally turns Super Saiyan? He's just like, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." No, Piccolo, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. Because what happens really, actually, it looks like Spider-Man swings away, but really the rubble hits him.
Ooh, it does, doesn't
he's
it?
He's trapped.
Like
he's trapped.
He's shielded. Yeah, it's shielded Randy from the rubble falling off him from the wall, hasn't he?
So what the Kingpin's done is like screaming. You can hear the Kingpin, these muffled screams. Imagine him plodding up like tump, 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 and taking a piss on it.
That's what you fucking get by the man. This is why you don't cross me.
You can't. Right, listen, you've got to fucking listen to me right now. Get Pete. Get Baz. We're fucking drinking. We've got the fucking tablet. Why am I fucking never have I known? Shut the total fucking triumph. Imagine him running the track. You could hear him running for fucking minutes.
His little fat baby steps.
He's got the tablet clutched against his stomach. Like he's just fucking like, got a like laptop just, on Black Friday.
He's just caught the fucking wide receive, man.
But he's gone, man. He's out of there. The Spider-Man's under the rubble. Randy's fine. Through Spider-Man's aid, Randy can get to safety. But as Spider-Man goes outside with the police actually turning up now to arrest the protesters, not the Kingpin, he looks outside and the Kingpin's like darting into this car. Do you know when a car wobbles when you jump, like fully force yourself, like jump into it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Imagine the fucking rocking of this car.
It'd be going away on two wheels, man.
The police take Josh, Randy, and others. They've rounded up the ringleaders, and they're taking them. They said I have their day in court.
That's a bit rough. They're having their right to protest.
And Joe Robertson shows up, and
no one actually asked them to leave.
Randy's dad, Joe Robertson, shows up, and he says, "Don't worry, we'll get the legal aid. You did what you thought was right, and I'll be backing you all the way." And Josh is like, "Your dad's a geezer."
He is?
Randy, your dad is a geezer. And they get put away. And Spider-Man turns around. He's like, okay, Randy's fine. His dad's there. Turns around to the car and goes, right, fucking unfinished business time. I'm going after the Kingpin.
Good lad. Take the fight.
And that's where
it
ends, Brad. That's where it ends.
Right. Okay. It's a bit of a wild ride. Ready to find out why that fucking tablet's so important.
Yeah, it's going to be crushed under the Kingpin's fucking palms, I can tell you.
Oh, I'm not going to lie, this issue's been quite weak.
Yeah, it's been a bit rough,
isn't
it?
It's been a stretch, man.
It's been a real stretch. There's not been a lot going on.
See, we usually thrive with that sort of shit, but...
No, but this has been like, there has been like quite literally nothing.
Literally nothing. It's just...
Like, they showed up, and the funniest bit was the security guard tried to kill some kids.
In which... That should never be the funniest thing.
No, it shouldn't. But Brad, that is the end of the issue. We move on next time with the tablet in the Kingpin's clutches, issue 69. Nice. That'd be amazing, Spider-Man.
Nice.
Is next. So yeah, you can find us at Spidey Podcast. We'd love to hear off you. And we'll see you very, very soon for some more Spider-Man action. Goodbye.
Peace.